As the band is being seated, I'll remind you today is the day we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And the way that takes place in this service is by intinction. People are invited to come forward after I break the bread and share the cup. I'll have a prayer, and then people will come forward using the center aisle. There are teams in the middle and teams in the front. You take the bread first, dip it in the cup, and then partake and return to your seats using the side aisle. And so if you are a guest, the table is open to you this morning. I'm preaching a series of stewardship sermons just now. This is the third in the series of Give Freely and Wholeheartedly. That's a phrase that comes from the Old Testament. This is the third sermon, and it's entitled The Sermon on the Amount. Not the Sermon on the Mount, the Sermon on the Amount. And let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O God, our provider, we ask now that you would nourish our minds with your truth, that you would help us to open our hearts to your love and to surrender our will to your purposes. And as we do so, may we always remember that you will supply us in life with everything that we need. We pray this in Jesus' name, who we trust and pray. Amen. This morning we're going to talk for a little while about the biblical concept, the biblical teaching of tithing. And tithing is the biblical directive that God gives us throughout the scriptures over and over again. There are directions about tithing. And tithing is about how we manage, under God's good guidance, all that we have, our time, our talents, our resources. And so the question I really have for you this morning to think about as you drive home or talk to friends this afternoon or this week is to think about how you learned of the importance of giving to God's work through your church. How did you learn about tithing? When I finished confirmation class when I was 12 years old, I was given a box of envelopes for my Sunday giving to the church. And I remember placing them on my dresser. Every year they would give us a new box. And if I got behind, I could tell by the dates on the envelopes I had missed a few Sundays. Even if I'd gone to church and failed to take the envelope and not given, I knew I had to catch up. And these are available to anyone that wants to use this as a way to help you discipline your giving. We provide them about the end of December. They'll start showing up in the hallway on a table there. And we used to buy them, and they would have the date for that given year, like today, November the 3rd, next week, November the 10th. And we stopped that because we would finish the year, and the next year the envelopes didn't work if we had extras. The dates would be all wrong, and so now they say the first Sunday of November, the second Sunday of November, and so forth. But if you want to use envelopes, that's how I learned. That's one of the ways. And my parents instructed me that when I worked at the local grocery store, that when I got my check, a percentage of that was to be given to God. And that was true whether I worked at the grocery store or the fast food restaurant or in my lawn business that I enjoyed. And I remember the first year that I filed my income tax and got back what I thought was a whopper of a check, being a teenager. And my mother looked at me and she said, "And that too is to be tithed." When I got my notices, I remember sending out notices of my high school graduation. And when the checks came from relatives and friends, she said, "And that too." That's how I learned about the importance of giving, the importance of tithing. When I was in seminary 34 years ago, we were required, and Paul was required to do this. He has a story as well. But we were required to go to different traditions in worship and see how other traditions did things. And I remember one Sunday I went to an African-American Episcopal church. And when the offering came to the front, the pastor came down, looked in the plates, and looked over at the organist and said, "John, play that song again. We're taking the offering a second time." I've always wanted to do that one Sunday. And so today, Stephanie, can you imagine? being Presbyterian, we would say, I can't. My envelope's on my dresser at home. I have to have an envelope. You can give online, right? In that same church, I remember going in the back and studying all that they had, different tradition, and I saw different things that we wouldn't normally do. One of the things they had, it was stewardship time of the year in that particular church, was they had a typed list available of every dollar that had been given in that church, and it had at the top the names of the biggest givers, and it went all the way to the bottom, and it included the children. Can you imagine? In this church, it's a private thing between you and God, and for tax purposes, the bookkeeper keeps a record, your statement that you mailed twice a year, or more often if you call and want one. Personally, I keep myself blind to a member's giving. I have never wanted to know, though I care that people do give, but I never know the amount. Never. It's none of my business. I've always felt that way. And not all pastors feel that way. Some pastors say, well, I need to know because I can tell by their giving their spiritual health. I have never felt that way. Paul told me the story that he went to a church and he had put it off in going, and so he had something he had to do Sunday, and so he ended up at a church on a Saturday. And in this particular church he attended, when the offering was called for, he said the children ran to the back, and there was a man who handed the children a $5 bill each, and they joyfully ran to the church and put them in the baskets first before the offering was collected by the congregation. And I thought, if that man ever leaves the church, they're in big trouble, because who's going to volunteer for it next, right? But that was their practice. How did you learn of the importance of giving? One study I read said that over 70%, think about that, over 70% of Christians in this day and time do not know and do not understand about the biblical teaching of tithing. Some people may even feel that these principles on tithing that I'm going to share, that they are out of touch with modern times. I disagree. I think they're more important today and more important to begin teaching our children and youth than they ever have been in this society that's changing so quickly. I remember years ago, the Young Bloods, when they were here, and Emma asked her parents, you remember? The offering plate would go by and they wouldn't put anything in. And finally, Emma said to her dad, Jim, why don't we do that? He said, we already do it online. And so we created the little plastic laminated cards that you can place in the basket or the plate when they come through. And they say, and they're in the back every Sunday, you can take one as you come in with your bulletin, place it in the plate, and it says, I gave online. Giving is an act of worship. It is part of worship, even if you do that online. What we do in this hour matters, and it's a part of worship. How many of you would agree with me, by a show of hands, that the way we spend our time and money tells others what's important to us? How many of you would agree with that? The way we spend our time and our money tells others what's important to us. This time change has gotten to me. Let me read two short readings first. The first one is from the Gospel of Luke. It's one in which Jesus tells of the religious Pharisee who gave and a tax collector. I think it's about attitude, and we'll come back to this story at the very end of the sermon. But I'm reading this morning Luke 18, 9 to 14 first, and it's from the Living Bible translation. And it goes like this, then he, that is Jesus, told the story to some who boasted of their virtue and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a proud, self-righteous Pharisee, and the other a cheating tax collector. The proud Pharisee prayed this prayer, thank God I am not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. Oh, I'm going to sneeze. Thank you. I never cheat, I never commit adultery, I go without food twice a week, said the Pharisee, and I give to God a tenth of everything I earn. Self-righteous. But the corrupt tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes up to heaven as he prayed, but beat upon his chest in sorrow, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus summarized, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home forgiven. For the proud shall be humbled, but the humble shall be honored. And then I want to list and read a positive verse from 1 Corinthians 16:2. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and again in the Living Bible translation, on every Lord's Day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for this offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. I could go into the Old Testament and tell you about Father Abraham, who really was one of the wealthiest people in the Old Testament. Solomon would be another wealthy one, like the Bill Gates of the Old Testament. But Father Abraham, there's a story that tells in Genesis, he returned from battle loaded down with the treasures of his conquest, and he gave the priest of the Most High God, the high priest Melchizedek, he gave him 1/10 of all he had gained because he was following God's instructions on tithing. There is ample proof over and over in the morning. I could go on for an hour just reading verses about tithing and giving and the consequences throughout the scriptures. That is God's intent for us as God's people. I shared with you previously in a stewardship sermon some years ago, I look back and 350 Sundays ago, and yes, I count and keep records, but 350 Sundays ago, I told you that during the Middle Ages, they were so faithful to the biblical teaching of the tithe that if you did not pay your tenth to the church for the work that God was doing, then the sheriff would go to your home to collect it. That practice has not continued. But can you imagine? Perhaps a television show might pick this up if we started it again. The Clearwater Police, they come to your home, they sit in their car and wait for you to go in and complete a check for your tithe. Can you imagine? I can't. Well, the Bible teaches us about the importance of tithing. And next Sunday, on Dedication Sunday, each one of us will have to deal with the amount that we will seek to pledge for the year 2020. I never thought I'd get there. 2020. How much is the question? How much will we dedicate to God for the coming year that reflects all that we have comes from God? First, however, for today, I want to share very briefly some principles about tithing. And tithing, as you'll see, is more than just about the number 10 or 10%. It's much more than that. The first of the four principles to tithing I want to mention is that of regularity. It's biblically supportive to give regularly. To tithe is to give regularly, perhaps weekly or monthly, but to do so frequently as often as you can in worship. If we give regularly, it takes giving out of the realm of mood and emotion. The principle of giving regularly means that we just don't give to God when we feel like it. It takes it out of mood. And I can tell you this, that personally, that giving regularly online, I have found that to be, and used that option in the past, that has been a real blessing to us as a family. It's a very painless way to do it, I find, because it happens so regularly. And yet it a little bit builds up over the course of a year. And it's been a joy to give online. Giving to God regularly also takes the pain out of giving. If you're having pain in giving, then give regularly. By giving regularly, you don't have to try to catch up as you get to the end of the year and expenses start to stack up and you go, oh my gosh, I'll never catch up. And then you're not only pained by it, but perhaps you feel guilty by it. And guilt's not really a part of giving. It should be out of joy that we give. Give joyously without reluctance. The second principle of tithing, of setting aside a percentage of one's resources for God's work, is that of proportionality. To tithe is to give in proportion to that which you have been blessed with. It calls upon each of us to ask ourselves the question in this season, what percentage will I give that symbolizes that all that I have comes from God? What portion will I set aside to glorify God and to thank God for all that I have and all that I've been given? So tithing involves giving regularly and giving in proportion to how we've been blessed. And then thirdly, there's the principle of priority. There's a passage in Deuteronomy 14:23 that talks about giving and setting aside God's share first, and it says this in the Living Bible: the purpose of tithing is to teach us to always put God first in your lives. The principle of tithing says that we give the first 10% of everything we make back to God. That's the biblical instruction. And tithing then becomes a constant reminder that God is our first priority in all of life, the very first thing. And so regularity, proportionality, priority, and fourthly, there's the principle of risk. The principle of risk. When you take God's share off the top first, it is then that you begin to live adventurously. Can you live off 95%? What about 90%? How much will we dedicate to God? This symbolizes that all that we have comes from God. Someone usually says to me about this time of the year when I'm talking about tithing, someone usually says to me something like this: well, Pastor, I give, and I give generously, and I get it all back with interest every time I give. I find I just can't outgive God. My one caution is to say to that, if it were 100% guarantee that you get more back every time, then that would take the risk out of tithing. Many times that happens, but tithing is an adventure. And I believe we can trust that God will not let us starve if we give a higher amount for the next year. There may be things that we reevaluate in life, perhaps things we really don't need to be spending on. And when you think about it, a gift to God that doesn't cause us to step out in faith in a new way, in a priority way, perhaps that's really not giving at all if we're not giving as a priority. The word tithe means 10. And I'm very interested in the fact, as you should be, that Jesus talked a lot about money, more than most any other topic, but only twice in the New Testament did he use the word tithe. He talked about giving in a lot of ways, but when he talked about the tithe, he often would use it to cut the Pharisees and to intimidate them about their self-righteousness. The first occasion he used it was when he condemned the Pharisees, who even tithed and told people they tithed from their herb gardens. And yet, he reminded them while they did that, they neglected mercy and the weightier matters of the law, like helping those in need on the Sabbath. The other occasion is when he held up this horrible example of the Pharisee, which I read at the beginning of the message, who stood and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like others. I give tithes of all that I get." Notice the attitude there, the self-righteousness. I am not like this sinner. You see, if we say that everyone who gives 10% automatically is righteous, that's the worst kind of moral blindness to teach. It's all about attitude and humbling ourselves before God and making a sincere gift out of joy. Well, this is the Sermon on the Mount. I offer it with some title once a year. What will be the amount that you set aside first? Two stories and I close. Many years ago, when I was the pastor of a small church in Alabama, and I loved that church, but I remember preaching a stewardship sermon, and Sally and her husband, Sally was on the search committee that brought me to that church, they said to me, could we see you in your office after you finish shaking hands? It was after the service. And I said, sure, I've got all the time in the world. I can meet with you. And so when I got to my office, I asked them to sit down, and we began our time together. And they started off by saying, Chris, we are so angry about your sermon today. And I looked at my watch, and I said, you know, I really don't have that much time. I'm really late for a lunch. But we were good friends, and they laughed at that. And they said to me, you know, I call Chris. Sally said, I call you about once every 2 weeks, and we pray over the phone because we can't get to worship often. And you know, we have our wooden crate business, and you know it's failing. And we're doing all that we can, working around the clock, so that we don't have to lay off employees because they have families to feed as well. And when you preach that kind of sermon about tithing, it just makes us feel so sad. And I said to them, as I would say to any of you, in the spirit of Jesus Christ, give as you have been blessed, and give joyously what you can. God knows the situation of every person in this room, and God understands your heart. In another church I was in some years later, a different experience. A professional sports agent, a member of the church, and an elder in the church. He came to me after a stewardship sermon, and he said, Chris, I have good news. He said, I've already made my pledge to the church for the coming year. And he said, I have just signed a large contract for one of my baseball players. He was a professional sports agent, and he said his contract is one of the largest for this time. It was in the beginning of the 90s. It was $10 million. Gary Sheffield. And he said, I'm tithing 10% of that, and it's not to satisfy my annual pledge. This is an over and above gift, but I believe in everything that I'm receiving. God has blessed me so much that I tithe off everything I'm given. And he said, beyond my pledge, I want one half to go to the St. Petersburg Free Clinic and the other half to go to CASA, the Center for Spousal Abuse. And I said to him, as I would say to any of you, in the spirit of Jesus Christ, give as you have been blessed, and give joyously what you can to the glory of God. Let us pray as we come to this table. O Lord and our God, as we come to this table to celebrate Christ's body broken for us and his blood shed for us, O Lord, remind us that on every Lord's Day, you ask us to put aside something from what we have earned and to tithe from all we've been given, to glorify you and all that you have done for us. You, O Lord, you have given of your own Son. You, O God, have made a sacrificial gift to show us your love for us. And you did that through the person of Jesus Christ. And this table reminds us of your great love and your gift to us. Help us to joyously give a portion back to you. For you have given us all that we have, and you will supply for us in the future for our every need. And so we come to this table in the midst of this prayer, remembering that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he broke it, he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is sealed for many for the forgiveness of sins. It's shared for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we continue now in our prayers to you, O Lord, giving thanks for all that you have given us. May this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, and may it remind us of your great love and sharing the gift of your Son. This is our prayer as we come to you at this table, and we give you thanks that all are welcome here. And so we come. In Christ's name, amen.